Welcome to the Strongsville United Methodist Church podcast for Sunday, June 12th. Pastor Carl Stone brought the message entitled, An Instrument of Thy Peace. Pastor Stone leads the care ministers of our church. Our trained care ministers partner with the pastors in providing care through visits to our congregation at home, in the hospital, or nursing care facilities. The training, which is done by Carl Stone, is guided by the prayer of St. Francis, and Carl speaks of the links between righteousness, justice, and peace.
And so I didn't totally forget is the whole deal.
No, I forgot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, man, I forgot. He gave me the lead-in. He gave me, like, the nod, and I'm like, no, you're up. But I told him. But I told him, I says, give me a minute so I can introduce you at the beginning of the service. And I totally had a senior moment, even though I'm not your senior. So Carl, my first recollection of Carl was after I had preached a sermon a couple years ago, and this wild man come through the doors, and this big handshake, and he says, I'm all in. I'm on board with what you guys are doing. And I'm like, who is this crazy guy? That was my first impression. And I still say to this day, who is this crazy guy that I love so much? I will add that to it, because Carl eventually came on staff and brought to us a wonderful ministry in the care ministers. And the training, he came to us and said, hey, I want to be a part of this. And Pastor Dave said, well, if you want to be a part of this, maybe you should try this. And next thing I know, he's booking a trip out to Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas, going and getting all the training materials and bringing it back to us. And it's been a successful, wonderful addition to the ministries of this church, and has allowed people from the congregation to come and walk alongside the pastors and visit people in the hospitals and in their homes, even in hospice care. And recently there was a funeral that one of the care ministers shared with, and it was so beautiful to see how her life had been touched so deeply by visiting somebody from the church. So would you guys please welcome Carl Stone.
As long as we're getting started, you know.
Okay, let's stop right there.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And this is the place to be, folks. If you want to live out God's call and claim on your life, you keep right on coming to Strongsville United Methodist Church. This ministry that I was called to on behalf of the church has been life-changing for me, but even more than that, for up until now, 16 care ministers, and today, as of today, grand total of 24. We'll be commissioning 9 new ones today. It's been life-changing for them, and it's been life-changing for care receivers. And that's you folks who have made the kind of church home where people can truly be family. I'd like for us to consider, well, actually to continue the thought that Rebecca got us started on. And that was of a seed growing into a seedling, and the potential that is a wonderful metaphor for peace. Because I'd like for us to be thinking about peace today as we call 9 new care ministers to a ministry which is peace. And if you don't fully understand that yet, you will. Let's turn first to Scripture, Isaiah 9, and see these words there. Isaiah expresses, in the middle of horrible times for the kingdom of Judah, horrible times, he expresses an undying knowledge and hope that God will, through it all, save his kingdom. And even more than that, cause that kingdom to grow and to flourish and to display the wonderful attributes of peace. Here are these words. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former times, He brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as a people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And two scriptures from the Gospel of John. The first one where the disciples are meeting in the upper room secretly because they're afraid. Jesus has been crucified. Yes, he has been resurrected also, but they are about to receive their flesh and blood assurance that Jesus is the resurrected Lord. John 20. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." A week later, his disciples were again in the house. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And this single sentence from the Gospel of John earlier, John 14, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." So I would like for each and every person here today to consider a commitment or a recommitment to being an instrument of God's peace. And if you make that consideration, you could easily be like the seed which grows into the seedling, and the seedling which becomes a tree of peace and comfort and shade for persons who would spend time beneath the tree. There is a scriptural truth that we have studied this morning. We worship and serve the Prince of Peace who is working through us to establish the kingdom of peace. So as you consider that truth, ask yourselves some questions here. Do we believe Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace? Do we worship and serve Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace? Do we believe as disciples that it's right to imitate our Prince of Peace? Are we the very body of Christ, the hands and the feet, the eyes and the ears and the mouths of the Prince of Peace? So if you allow me to paraphrase the Isaiah 9 scripture, and it's very little paraphrase, I simply take the pronouns and put in, make them very clear in terms of what those pronouns are. It reads like this: "The authority of the Prince of Peace shall grow continually, and in the kingdom of peace there shall be endless peace. The Prince of Peace will establish and uphold the kingdom of peace with justice and righteousness forever. And having either read that or said that, the only thing left to say is, Amen. May it be so, Lord Jesus Christ. It's clear that the Messiah and the kingdom are all about peace. You see, the kingdom of peace is established and upheld with justice and righteousness. And we need to pause for just a moment and take a look at three very important words that are there. Peace, righteousness, and justice. In the Old Testament, over and over and over again, these three words appear right next to each other, and they're very, very closely related. Peace, righteousness, justice. And you can find that by looking in Isaiah. You can find it by reading the Psalms, and Amos was very strong on this idea that the three of those are very closely related. Six times in Isaiah, you have the three words and have them related, and as they are in the scripture this morning. Righteousness, justice, and peace. And I've chosen an order to introduce those three because scripturally, righteousness leads to justice and justice leads to peace. And we want to take a look at each one of those words and see what they mean. Let's start with righteousness. Righteousness is very simply right relationships. But it becomes difficult when you consider the scope. It's right relationships with God, with all of God's children, and all of God's creation. Righteousness is, plainly put, impossible unless we have God helping us. So the first thing you should know about righteousness is throw out of your mind what the preconception you may have about a self-righteous person. You don't want to be righteous because there's this person who is righteous in their own mind. Or there's this goody two-shoes trying to live righteously. And I don't want to be like that. Because righteousness is a gift of God that each and every one of us receive from God when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the only way we can sustain righteousness is by continuing our relationship with God. So God gives us the power to live right relationships in our families, in our church families, in our work, in our communities. To live right relationships, that's all righteousness is. And so I hope that each and every one of you leaving here today will say, I am righteous. Not because of anything I did, but because God gave me that gift. And I can try to live righteous, right relationships with people only because God loves me. The next one up on our little pyramid here is justice. And the Old Testament word, Hebrew word for that is tzedakah. And now I have to admit that that same word tzedakah means both justice and righteousness. Okay, so that lets you know how closely justice and righteousness exist. But tzedakah means ethical rightness or righteousness. And so when we start at home and we accept and practice the discipline of righteousness ourselves in right relationships, that creates justice in our society. And once we've created justice in our society, the next thing to come along is peace. And the Old Testament word for peace is shalom. And that word shalom is very much more comprehensive than we think of peace typically. Most of us think that if there is no war, if there's no fighting, if there's no violence, that's peace. And that's true. But also, peace can be a very complete sense of wholeness. Think salvation itself. That's shalom. Salvation itself is shalom. So when we create righteousness in our relationships, it creates justice, and the justice converts to peace for the world. And that's what we want to be doing today is living in ways that create peace. Put another way, the essence of true justice is righteousness. Its result is peace. Or righteousness leads to justice, leads to peace. The messages from John's gospel are two. The Prince of Peace greets his disciples with peace. And the Prince of Peace gives his own peace to his disciples. And so I hope that in your life, even when things get crazy, and even when the world around you turns very rotten, that you know that you can survive that craziness because Jesus Christ has greeted you with peace and has given you his own peace in the middle of that kind of world that we live in day to day. Also, I want you to know that the care ministers, some of whom we will commission today, are committed to realizing that Christ has lived in their hearts with peace, and they can share that peace with others. Because care ministry is disciples working toward peace by right relationships and justice. Wherever they're meeting, wherever they're visiting, in homes, hospitals, nursing homes, hospice, wherever. And one of the tools that we have used that I want to use with you this morning is the prayer of St. Francis. Now, lest you should think that I'm turning Catholic on you, and by the way, that wouldn't bother me a whole lot because I have a lot of respect for that faith, but this is attributed to St. Frank, and he didn't write it. As a matter of fact, the earliest that we can trace it back is 1912, and somebody submitted it anonymously. But here's the magical part. It's attributed to St. Frank because that's the kind of person he was. That's the way he lived. That was the example he provided for the world. And what a legacy any one of us could live if we were known by the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Lord God, may it be so. And so you have received, I hope, a little bookmark that has the prayer of St. Francis, and I would be thrilled to know that you would use that prayer and would try to live by it the next week and the week after and any time that you are reminded that peace is a way of life that is blessed by God. And by the way, there are spares over by the door, and I would be pleased if you wanted to shower the world with this wonderful prayer. So feel free to take some with you and give them to folks. Another tool that we use in care ministry to help us live and understand a life of peace as a care minister is the number one rule of caregivers in that you must care for yourself before you can care for another person. Otherwise, you may not have anything with which you can care. It's the same rule that the airlines use when you're on the plane, that you must reach for the oxygen mask yourself and put it on your face before you help out the person that you love. And that takes a lot of discipline, but it is the only way to live as a caregiver. Then and only then, after you've taken care of yourself, it's all a matter of understanding that it's not about you. Aine. Some of the care ministers are still wearing this red wristband that we wore during training, and it says, Aine. It's not about you. When you go to visit a person in your care ministry, understand that you need to be present for them. It's not your agenda, it is theirs. And Scripture calls us to sacrifice only a little to put the other person first. By the same token, if you go about your ministry, whatever your ministry is, and you receive an inadvertent slap, which are known to happen in church families from time to time, it's not about you. It's probably about some hurt that somebody else is experiencing. So it's not about you is a way of peace, a way of living peace, and the care ministers have accepted that, and they've allowed me to grind that in week after week because we revisited that each and every of 8 weeks. Now let's think about this tree analogy, and I want to do that by introducing you to the moringa tree, M-O-R-I-N-G-A, moringa tree. And I was not aware of this tree at all until I was able to go march to the Ganta Mission Station, which is United Methodist Church Mission Station in Liberia. And I was introduced to this tree, and I'm wondering, why don't we know about this thing? Because this is the tree of life, they call it. They call it the divine tree, the miracle tree, the tree of magic. Those are names that they give to this tree, and you'll see why here in just a second. The World Health Organization is pushing the planting and cultivating of the moringa tree in India and Africa specifically, because those are two places where you find very, very poor soil for farmers to work with in general. And they're dry, arid, barren landscapes in a lot of situations. And this tree flourishes in that kind of a situation. So just to give you an idea of some of its miraculous powers, you can get from this tree by eating the leaves, and we'll talk about how you can do that, vitamins A and E, 1 to 10 times the recommended daily allowances. 1 to 10 times by eating leaves from this tree. In terms of vitamin C, it is 6 to 7 times more potent than orange juice. 3 to 5 times more potent in terms of beta carotene than carrots. 3 times as potent in iron as spinach or roast beef. 3 times potassium of bananas. 4 times the calcium of milk. Think about that. This is a wonderful plant. And it is no wonder that the World Health Organization is pushing it with nations that have problems providing nutrition for themselves. It's grown in California and Arizona here in the United States, and so you can go online and you can get your own seeds. I've got a few that Lucy and Lena and Mamo and Papa are going to be planting and growing in the house until it gets too big. And this is truly a miracle plant. It has many uses. The leaves can be used in salads. They can be cooked as greens. The powder, if you dry it and sprinkle the powder as a spice. The tea made from the leaves has a very strong ginger taste to it. It was a little bit too strong for me, but it might not be for you. The beans can be eaten raw in salads. They can also be cooked and eaten as beans. But it has even more uses. The seeds can be pressed into oil, and the oil is good for cooking. It's good for salads. It's good for healing. It's good for fuel. The bark is cork, and the roots are similar in taste to horseradish as a condiment. This tree truly is amazing. And as we think about being instruments of God's own peace, we're reminded that this tree is a whole lot like the olive tree in the Old Testament times in terms of the need that people had for that tree in order to be able to live. But even more, as you think about being a tree of peace and life, this tree prefers that rotten, red, iron-rich clay that you see in Africa, and or sand that you also see in Africa and India, and a mixture of those, if you will. But it somehow digs into that rotten dirt and pulls every vitamin and mineral out into the leaves and the beans and the seeds for use by people. That's how it works for you. If you choose to be an instrument of God's peace, I can guarantee you that you're going to be planted in something less than the very best dirt. Because there ain't a whole lot of good dirt out there anymore, okay? Maybe there never was. But you're going to be planted in a dry and arid land, and you're going to be planted in dirt that is substandard. And yet you can flourish and grow and become a witness for God and for peace if you choose to be like this tree. So I'm asking you to recommit with me and with the care ministers as we pray together the prayer of St. Francis this morning. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.